Let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel according to John.
17 reasons. The title on the handout is 17 reasons Jesus would not make booze in John chapter 2. On my outline, I put a different title down. I just simply titled it, What Did the Water Become? A more interesting question, though I don't have a definitive answer, is when did the water become? And we'll talk about that here in just a second. But John chapter 2, verse number 1, let's go ahead and read. We're going to read a number of verses. We'll read the whole account here, the historical account, and then we'll move on from there. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Now a firkin is about 9 gallons, and so 18 to perhaps as many as 27 gallons. So these are some pretty big pots that are laying there or sitting there. All right, verse number 7. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. So apparently the water pots were empty, and Jesus says, Fill them up. All right, the middle of verse 7, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. In other words, the good stuff at first, then they followed up with the cheap stuff when everyone's had a lot. All right, but continue on verse number 10. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. Father, we thank you for this passage of scripture, and Father, it's unfortunate there's so much confusion surrounding it, and so many use it to justify the sin and carnality in their lives. Help us, through the agency of your Holy Spirit tonight, to become confirmed in what actually happened here and what you did, for it was indeed a notable miracle, showing your compassion and love and concern for all those involved, especially for this family of the bridegroom, and Father, for your obedience demonstrated to your mother. And so, Lord, now as we consider these few thoughts, Lord, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot of different directions you can go with this passage of scripture, but obviously I'm going to be very focused on it. I mentioned this morning that so many use this to justify the consumption of booze. Because they say, well, Jesus made booze. And the question is, did he or did he not? And the simplest answer to that question is found right in the passage itself. And it comes with this man that they gave the first cup of the wine to in verse number 9, this ruler of the feast. Because he mentions in the next verse that this was good wine. Now, if you had drunk a lot previously, because they obviously had wine to drink before this, they just ran out. People cleaned out the supply there, and they didn't have any more, and so that's why Mary asked Jesus to provide more. And so what you find here is that he was able to taste it. Now, if you were out boozing it up and you were had already consumed a good amount. Let's just put it that way. You'd already consumed a good amount of booze. You don't care what the next glass or the next can or the next bottle tastes like. The only thing you're concerned about is whether or not it contains alcohol. That's just the way it is. What happens with the alcohol is it kills the taste buds, and you really can't tell any longer whether it tastes good or not. And so at this point, after they've already drunk what would have been a plentiful supply, the fact that he's able to discern that what I have now is better than what I had previously had today tells us that this could not have been alcoholic or booze. Now, obviously, I'm assuming you remember that the word wine refers to both grape juice and booze when you read it in the Bible. It still does today. It just talks about any juice that comes from or any liquid that comes from the grapes. Whether it's fermented or not is what makes it go from either grape juice or booze. And so the fact is Jesus did not create booze. And it's just right here in John chapter 2, very obvious to anyone who's ever been involved in that. Now, if we want to be obstinate and hard-hearted, we'll refuse to acknowledge the truth given to us there. But there's other reasons why we know, even if the first wine they served was booze, we have 17 reasons, at least 17 reasons, why Jesus would not have made booze that day. Now, again, I said earlier, the more curious question to me is, when did, and we'll get into these 17 reasons in just a minute, but when did the water change? Now, my pastor was really aggravated if anybody ever said that Jesus changed the water into wine, because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the water became wine, and he was very explicit on that, and I never understood why. I still don't understand why, but when did it change from becoming water to becoming wine? Did it turn into grape juice as they poured it into the pots? I think the answer to that is probably no. So when did it? And I think the answer is given to us if you look at, again at verse number 8, the word draw. Jesus said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And so then in the next verse, and when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water. Now, what did they draw out when they drew it out of the water pots? They drew water out. And so at some point, whether it was when they were pouring it into the cup or after it was in the cup already, after they poured it in, that to me seems to be when it happened. Now, when it happens, kind of irrelevant, isn't it? Because the fact is it did change. It became wine, not booze, but it became grape juice. All right, so 17 reasons why. Let's get through these. Now, if you go to the book of Leviticus, now every time we change to a different scripture, you're going to be going to the right. And that's just the way I laid it out. So there is no other organization in how I organize these points other than that. We start from the beginning of the Bible and work our way through the back. In Leviticus chapter 10, verses 8 through 11. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine or strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. Now, God's pretty serious about this commandment, isn't he? And obviously, he's talking about booze because strong drink has only one understanding or only one type of thing that it describes, and that's booze. Where wine can be either booze or it can be grape juice. But here, because he links it up with the strong drink, it's obviously talking about booze. And he says, if you try to serve me while you're intoxicated or under the influence of booze, you're going to die. And so, as I said, God is very serious about this command. Going on in verse number 9, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. And so the first reason why Jesus would not make booze is because Jesus is holy. The reason given for Aaron and his sons to refrain from booze is, well, they would die, number one, but I think the reason behind it and the reason why the death penalty is instituted for this infraction is simply that God wanted Israel to know holiness from unholiness, from cleanness from uncleanness. And so Jesus was holy. If he became a participant in booze, he would sacrifice his holiness. And that just could not happen because as God, he is perfectly holy. And so Jesus, as a holy God, putting difference between holiness and unholiness, could not and would not produce any type of booze. All right, let's move over to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. We'll read the first four verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat any moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. Now, this is the Nazarite vow. Now, let's just be clear on this, lest you misunderstand me. Jesus was not a Nazarite. He was not a Nazarite. He was from Nazareth. I remember when I was first saved, I was confused by those two terms. I thought they were the same, that a Nazarite would be someone from Nazareth. And that's just not the way it is. The word Nazarite means separated. The name Nazareth means the guarded one, not the separated one, but the guarded one. So they're two completely different words. But what we find here, the Nazarite would take a period of time of their lives, and there was no set time. They determined how long. It was all according to their vow that they would separate themselves unto God. And during that time of separation, where they had a particular time of dedication to God, and that's the word there, because Jesus is dedicated to God, they would refrain from booze. Not just booze, but anything from the wine, lest their testimony would be tarnished, so that no one would accuse them of doing something to break that vow, doing something to break their dedication to God. And so these believers today that think they can drink booze and go out and drink booze and pretend like they're dedicated to God are proving themselves just the opposite. They're dedicated to the flesh, they're dedicated to the world, they're dedicated to pleasure and not to God. They've broken that vow of dedication with their drinking of the booze. And so Jesus would not create booze, would not make booze, simply because Jesus was dedicated to God. And there was a clear line of separation. If you're dedicated to God, then you would refrain and totally abstain from any booze. All right, let's move over to Deuteronomy chapter 21 to reason number 3. Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21 verses 20 and 21. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones, that he die, so that thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, this was what was to be done with rebellious children. Aren't you glad that we're not under the law? Because I was a rebellious son. And all my brothers, my siblings were rebellious. I think I probably would have had one sister that would have survived those teenage years. But God said, we're not going to tolerate it. We're going to teach the children to honor their parents, the young people to honor their elders. Boy, that's something that is just being swept under the rug today, isn't it? We're being taught to honor the youth today. The children are running the home. And it's just a real tragedy of what's going on in our society. And then we wonder why they feel that they're obligated to, or not obligated, but why they're should be okay going out and stealing things and harming people and damaging property. Because they've been taught that. The world revolves around them and there's no consequences for bad actions. And so God said there ought to be the death penalty for it. At least under the law there was, but there's several things that are listed under this situation, and you can understand why. If you're a parent, would you, even with a difficult child, would you haul them before the judge knowing that if they're found guilty, they're going to their death? I'd have trouble with that. Now, I didn't have trouble with any of my kids. They were all, God just blessed us. It just shows how challenged I was as a parent, because God just gave us all good kids, so I didn't have to worry about it. If you had one that you struggled with, it's because you have more wisdom than I do to deal with that. But nevertheless, that would be a hard thing to do. And so you have the disobedience, will not obey our voice, is a glutton and a drunkard. So being a drunkard, given to booze, is just one of the three reasons to haul the child before the authorities to have their life ended. Now, where this fits into the events at Cana is Jesus honored his parents rather than dishonored. This son spoken of back in Deuteronomy dishonored his parents with his behavior. He wouldn't do a thing he was asked, and apparently refused to work, a glutton and a drunkard. He ate and drank all that they had and were endangering the economy of the home. And so because Jesus honored his parents, and we have a great demonstration of that when Jesus was taken into Jerusalem for the feast, and mom and dad went back home, at least, you know, worldly speaking, mom and dad, as Joseph and Mary were heading back home, and found out that night he wasn't with them. And they went back in Jerusalem, they found him in the temple. And the classic statement must be about my father's business, declaring who his father is. It's not Joseph, but it's God the Father. And yet, he honored his earthly mother and father by going back to Nazareth with them and becoming the carpenter that he became. And so Jesus always honored his parents, and so he'd have nothing to do with booze. If he became a drunkard, he was dishonoring his family's name. All right, let's turn over to the book of Esther. Well, you can turn there if you want. We're not going to read that whole chapter. But this is when Ahasuerus holds his great feast. And after so many days of drinking and eating, apparently under the influence of booze, he decides he's going to bring out the queen, his wife, and put her on public display for her beauty in front of all those men. And Vashti, the wife, says, there ain't no way that's happening. And so she sends back word and says, I ain't coming. And you're not going to make a spectacle of me. I'm not going to tolerate that. I have more dignity than that. And anyway, Ahasuerus is incredibly upset. And so he asks his advisors, well, what should I do about it? I can't make her come in here without creating a scene. And they said to him, at least one of them stood up and said, well, you know, that's not just a problem for you. That's going to be a problem for all of us, because all the wives in your kingdom are going to hear that the queen refused to do what you told her to do, and they're all going to become rebellious women. And so you need to get rid of her. And so she was put away from being the queen, and a new queen was brought about. Now the answer, or the fill in the blank here, is Jesus honored marriage. Ahasuerus is an example of a man who did not honor marriage. Now, what caused him to do what he did or tried to do? He was a drunkard. Booze created that. Booze is a dishonor in a home. Booze has broken up more homes than anything else. Because we can say a lot of different things that happen in a home, but oftentimes, and probably more often than not, booze was the reason those other things happen. And so booze is dishonoring to the marriage vows. And so if we become intoxicated or if we have anything to do with it, we're dishonoring our spouse. Doesn't matter if we're both participating, it's dishonoring those vows we've taken before God. But Jesus honored marriage. In fact, his very presence there at Cana, at that marriage, shows the fact that he honored marriage. And so he would not dishonor it by creating booze for those individuals to drink. All right, well, let's go ahead and turn over to the book of Proverbs. We've got a few of them there in Proverbs, starting in chapter 4. God knew man would have difficulty with booze, and so he has a lot to say about it in his word. Verse number 17 of Proverbs chapter 4, God says, "For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of," what's that last word?
Violence.
That's the blank, because violence follows booze. Violence follows booze. I'm sure I've told you somewhere along the line that when me and my brother and our best friend Tom, Tom Walters, would get drinking, my brother and I decided it's time to start wailing on Tom Walters. Violence. We treated him pretty good up until we got drunk, and then we wanted to beat him up. He's kind of an irritating guy, but I don't know why we were such good friends. But violence follows booze. What about when, in the home, when dad comes home stone drunk? The wife takes it, the kids take it, and he doesn't know any better because he's out of his mind, literally, because of the booze. Now, Jesus knows that violence follows booze. Do you think he would make booze for people to drink? And they were having a big party. They were enjoying themselves, and they would drink a lot. And if it was booze rather than grape juice, a fight was going to break out somewhere. Do you think Jesus would be the cause of that? I don't think so. And so I believe that's a reason why Jesus did not make booze, proof that he didn't make booze. All right, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Every time I read this verse, I'm going to smile at least on the inside, because Pastor Scott Willman was at a conference in Hammond, Indiana, and he was set up to go on the radio. They have a radio station. Of course, that's a church that I'm not sure what they're running now. Last I knew, they're running about 20,000 every Sunday morning. And so they've got a lot of different types of ministries. And so the pastor was interviewing Brother Scott, and his son Dallas was there. And Dallas, oh, he's probably 15, I'm guessing, probably 15 now. And so the pastor then surprises Dallas and said, "What's your favorite verse?" And his, or "What's your life verse?" And his life verse, "Even a child shall be known by his works." But the reference he gave, that, now that verse is in Proverbs, "Child shall be known by his works." But he gave Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 1, as a reference to his life verse. Well, what does this verse say? "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." So, why did Jesus not make booze? Because Jesus is wise. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And so if Jesus thought, "Oh, this will be harmless, no one will get hurt, this will be just fine," well, that's just foolishness. He's deceived by the wine. We know that Jesus would not have been fooled or deceived. All right, let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Quite a statement against booze here in this chapter. Verse number 21 is the first verse we'll look at. 23:21, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. The drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. And then we'll pick it up again in verse number 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without a cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Now, we understand all those except maybe the one in the middle, the babbling. What is that all about? And I think that's saying things you wish you had never said that you cannot ever take back. I think that's what it's talking about there. All right? Are any of these something you would like to experience tomorrow? Would you like to experience woe? Would you like to experience sorrow? Would you like to experience contention or fighting? Would you like to experience babbling, saying things you wish you never had? Would you like to experience wounds without a cause or redness of eyes? Obviously, the answer is no. These are not pleasant things. He goes on to say, these are the ones that experience it. Because the question is, who has them? Verse 30 comes the answer. They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. And because of that second statement, mixed wine, and then the next couple of verses, we know he's talking about booze rather than grape juice. Look, verse 30, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, it stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. Now those are foolish things there to try to do, laying down in the sea, because you're not going to stay on top of the water. Or trying to lay on the point of a mast, the top of a mast. Verse 35, they have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beat me, and I felt it not. When shall I wake? I will seek it yet again. And so you see the addictive nature of booze. Now, our point here for our study into the marriage at Cana is Jesus would not have made booze because Jesus desires or wants the best for others. He wants the best. And those that drink booze are not going to have good things happen to them. It will not ever end well. That's just the way it is. And the Word of God tells us that and assures us that. And since Jesus wouldn't want any of these things to happen to anybody, we know he did not make booze at Cana. All right, look at the book of Isaiah. We find a few instances in the book of Isaiah. First in chapter 5, verse number 11. Chapter 5, verse number 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And so here in Isaiah chapter 5, the first verse is our fill-in-the-blank woe unto them. Jesus realizes that woe follows booze. Woe follows booze. Drink the booze, there's going to be woe in your life. We talked about woe not too long ago. It's not a good thing. Not a good thing. It's an exclamation of grief or sorrow. And so Jesus wouldn't want that for anybody. And so he would not have made booze. All right, let's turn over to chapter 28. Chapter 28, verse number 7. Isaiah 28:7. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. And so look how many times the word erred or stumbled is in that verse. And we realize that what God is trying to tell us is they were drinking booze, and because of that, they were rendered useless. They were rendered useless. Booze renders a person useless. Studies are made about the effects of booze on the productivity in our nation. And it's astounding how many days are lost, how many days of production are lost because of drunk people on the job, and how many Millions of dollars are lost because of mistakes made on the job by someone under the influence. And so Jesus wouldn't have made booze there at Cana because he realized it renders someone useless. All right, let's turn over to Hosea. Hosea, right after Daniel, it's the first book of the Minor Prophet. We got a few here out of the Minor Prophets, so you don't want to turn too many pages once we get there, but Hosea chapter 4, verse number 11. Hosea chapter 4, verse number 11, it tells us there, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. Jesus knows that booze steals one's heart. And so he would not have created or made booze there at Cana because he understands that we're to protect our heart, we're to guard our heart, we're to keep it from anything that would cause us, as it told us in Proverbs, that would utter perverse things. Booze does that. We say things and we think things in our heart that ought never be because of the influence of booze. I don't think Jesus would do that because God assures us that no man is tempted of God. And so God would not allow that. All right, let's move over to the book of Nahum. The book of Nahum. Go to Jonah. Usually Jonah's pretty easy to find, and then just go a little bit further. You got Jonah, Micah, then Nahum, chapter 1, verse number 10. Jonah 1:10. For while they be folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble fully dry. Now he's talking about the destruction of Israel, of Nineveh. But he says it's kind of like a drunkard being devoured. And so we see that destruction follows booze. Destruction. You know, a lot of drunkards lose their jobs, they lose their families, they lose their homes, they lose their car, they lose everything. I think that's a pretty apt definition of destruction. And so I don't think Jesus would want that for a single person, especially this young couple starting out in their life at Cana, together in marriage. He doesn't want them, their lives to be destroyed. I think he wanted their lives to be happy and fulfilling and meaningful. So he wouldn't have created booze to get him off on the wrong foot. All right, let's look at Habakkuk. Just a couple pages to the right, chapter 2. We've got a couple of them there in chapter 2, verse number 5. Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine. In other words, what God is saying is booze is a sin. Would Jesus cause anyone to sin? Of course not. I just mentioned that verse in the book of James, chapter 1. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. It just will not ever happen. And so Jesus did not make booze at Cana. All right, in verse number 15 of Habakkuk 2. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, that makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. And so Jesus knows it's wrong to serve others booze. Knows it's wrong to serve others booze. You know, this verse gives us some guidance when it comes to our employment. If we have to provide booze, serve others booze, whether it's selling it in the container or in the cup, God says it's wrong. He says, woe to us. It's a sin. A Christian needs to draw a line there and say, I will not do that. I will trust God for a different job. I'll trust God to provide for me some other way. And you know, the devil's going to try to make sure that you have a good job that would disgrace the Father and cause you to sin. And so just don't fall for his trappings. Just be faithful to God and let God supply. All right, but Jesus would not have provided booze because he knows it's wrong to serve it to others. All right, we're in the book of Luke now, chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Jesus says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. Now, he's talking about the return of the Lord. here, but what he says is that that drunkenness will cause us to become dulled spiritually dull. And it's because it's so contrary to everything of God. It causes us to be unclean and unholy, as we saw all the way back in Leviticus with the first verse. It causes us to sin, as we just saw in Habakkuk chapter 2. All kinds of issues roll in when we begin to drink booze. But I think this is one of the more severe ones, or the more serious ones, is it dulls us spiritually. How can we claim to be getting anything from God's word when we're drinking booze? Now, you'd be surprised how many of these TV preachers and radio preachers drink booze. How can that be? They're dull spiritually. How can they be known as great Bible teachers? Well, it's just their hypocrisy, and they really aren't. All right, well, we need to keep moving. I got 3 minutes, and I got three more to go. All right, you didn't think I was going to do it, did you, when I said it this morning? I'm just bound and determined. Romans chapter 13, verse number 13. Jesus commands believers to abstain from drunkenness. He commands us. That's the blank there. 13:13 of book of Romans says, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying." Now, drunkenness is just listed with a number of others, and we're going to see that in the verses that follow as well. Some pretty bad stuff going on here, but he says, commands us not to walk this way, not to walk this way. The argument always comes up, well, I can drink one beer without getting drunk. Really? Without coming under the influence? Let's turn to, it's actually the last one we want, so let's go there first and come back to 16. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse number 18. I'm sure you're all familiar with this verse. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We're commanded not to be filled with booze. Commanded not to be filled with booze. Now the comparison and the contrast is we are supposed to be filled with the Spirit. Now how much of the Spirit does it take for the Spirit to influence us? Just shouldn't take very much. I mean, we'll get all of them when we get saved, and we're never going to get any more, but the same ideas with booze. You take that first sip and it's already influencing you. And I've mentioned the study, I'm sure, somewhere along the line that was made on college students where they would put them in a room and watch the interaction, and there was almost none. Then they served them a glass of wine and there was a little bit more interaction. But it all started with that first sip. All of a sudden people started to talk and they relax and they change. You see, booze changes us. And that's what God is saying. We're to be controlled by the Holy Spirit instead of controlled by the booze. Now, let's turn back to 1 Corinthians 6, and we'll be done with this study. Why Jesus would not make booze, whether it's at Cana or anywhere else. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus knows no drunkard will inherit the kingdom of God. Why did Jesus come? To seek and to save that which was lost. To serve booze with the potential of making one of those individuals at that wedding of Cana a drunkard and thereby missing heaven because of their drunkenness just contradicts the whole point of his coming. And so there are 17 reasons why Jesus would not make booze from the Word of God. Now, as I said, there's others, but I think this is enough, and it's all I got time for. So I hope you found that at least a little bit helpful, and just hold on to that, because somewhere along the line, someone's going to say, trying to defend booze, saying, but Jesus made wine. Yeah, he made wine, but it was grape juice, not booze. All right, well, let's go ahead and be dismissed. Father, we're grateful for your blessing to us. Thank you for the clarity of your Word. Father, we know that there are those that are sold out to the flesh in this area of drink. Father, we just pray that you would convict them of their sin, and Lord, that we would be a holy people, because that's what we're called unto, to be holy as you are holy. And so, Father, help us to be strong in this area, Father, that we would never compromise or back down from the truth of your word. And so, Father, now as we go, Father, just go with us and bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.